And I would say marketers typically have the more difficult task. There is a small population of CEOs, CFOs, COOs that understand the value marketing can drive. They intuitively understand it, but to truly show the foundation of how it directly correlates to influence is difficult. So when I am, you know, chatting with younger marketers, I always
Welcome to the Meaningful Jobs Podcast Season 3. I'm your host, Adrian, and today we're extremely honored to welcome Angela Culver, who is from Citibank and is the CMO, actually, of Citi. So how are you doing, Angela? Hope you're well.
Hi, Adrian. I'm excited to be here and looking forward to our session together.
Yeah, and, you know, thanks so much for agreeing to do this. I thought it would be a great opportunity for us before to talk about Citi's mission and what it's like working for Citi, it'll be good for our listeners to get to know a little bit more about yourself, how you got into, marketing, and how do you find meaning in the work you do? So, you know, obviously, as a chief marketing officer, you oversee the company's employer branding and other branding initiatives. Can you tell us a little bit about how you got into marketing and, you know, the purpose of work as a marketer, you think, overall?
Absolutely. I'll start with where I am right now and connect it back to how I ended up here would probably be the most relevant story. So I am the chief marketing officer for a division of Citi called Treasury and Trade Solutions. Mm-hmm. It is recently, we've recently just had a major organization change, and the business used to be broken into two distinct groups, and it's now five business groups. And I'm responsible for marketing within the services organization. I've been at Citi about 4 months, so I am fairly new to Citi, and I joined Citi from Oracle. So I'm traditionally a technology marketing executive, and I've made the switch of industries lately. However, this has been historically something that I've done in my career. The common thread has been marketing, but I have made shifts throughout my career into other industries and other segments. My start in marketing started off really early in life, actually. My first career, I was a figure skater, and figure skating is one of those sports that requires you to convince someone that your creative ability and your technical ability equate to value. And for years, there was no true way of measurement. It was very subjective. And marketing is very similar to that. So in ice skating, I had to convince someone that my creative and technical ability yielded a high mark, high reward, essentially. Marketing is very similar in that nature. With skating, I learned how to use math and science to create predictability. I'm going to date myself, but I would sit on the side of the ice and I would have a notebook and a calculator and a compass and a protractor, and I would map out geometric formulas and use physics to identify if my weight was X this day and I was traveling at Y speed, then I needed to basically push off a jump at certain angle. And
like what a pro athlete would do, you know?
Yeah. So we really use you know, math and science to calculate a very creative output. And back then, I didn't realize that was what I was doing, but that's essentially what I was doing. When my skating career ended, I was looking for a creative profession, essentially. Where could I, you know, still be able to kind of focus on putting out something creative, being innovative? And I landed at a marketing agency that specialized where their client base was predominantly technology, up and coming technology, and telcos. And I found myself using some of the same formulas and the same practice or methodology that I used in skating to kind of manage my marketing career. In the agency world, I had the ability to try a lot of different things early on in my career. And I found that I really enjoyed the more analytical side of the practice. And I found myself working for a startup in technology. So I moved from the agency into a startup. And the startup actually focused on a product that was business intelligence, analytics, and reporting. And again, I found myself helping clients learn how to use a very linear thought process in driving a creative output through numbers and through data. And I basically built my career through marketing with that as a baseline. Adrian, it took me years to figure out that my niche or what I do is essentially I monetize the creative. And that's what I focus on as a marketing leader now, is how can I take something that's very subjective in nature and give it a baseline so that non-marketers can understand the value that marketing delivers.
It sounds like really technical work that you are doing, you know, that I didn't really expect, you know, a marketer to perform like a mathematician at times, but I guess, you know, that's something that you find a lot of joy in. And would you say you are a natural marketer, or did it really take a lot of time for you to really find your position within marketing?
I think we have natural abilities in anything that we do, meaning that if we have a fondness for a particular craft or a profession, that we intuitively have a keen interest, so we develop a stronger skill set there. Am I naturally, you know, good at math? No. Am I naturally good at science? Not necessarily. I've had to really work on those skills, just like as I did as a figure skater. It took practice. But if you like doing something, you have more of an interest to develop that skill set. I like having a seat at the table. And I found that the language of love in business is basically numbers. If I say 1 + 1 = 2, doesn't matter which language or where I am around the globe, everyone agrees that equals 2. Mm. If I say 4 - 3 = 1, again, there's no disagreement. But if I say the brand colors need to be chartreuse and citron, or, you know, Kelly Green, it becomes a conversation that's subjective around the table. But if I say the current brand colors that we have are, you know, red and green, and half of our population is red, green, colorblind, and we're losing, you know, $500,000 worth of non-seen advertisement per quarter, it becomes a different conversation. Mm-hmm. And that's what I try to bring to the marketing organizations that I lead, is that we need to be able to talk within a language that non-marketers understand.
Would you say it's been quite a difficult journey for you, to, you know, to be able to get to this stage in your marketing career and to, you know, do what you are doing now, which is to communicate clearly to non-marketers? Like, what are the challenges that you found throughout your journey?
So I would say that I'm one of the lucky ones. I would say landing at a technology startup that was focused on creating visuals of data and getting cross-business personnel to understand it without being an IT DBA, like someone that was understood how to write SQL or code and did that for a living day to day. I feel fortunate that if I stumbled on this early in my career, because I would see others having the struggle of understanding these large data sets and then the visual creating ease of understanding, essentially. Put a chart in front of someone, it's like, okay, I understand what the business is trying to communicate. Put a spreadsheet in front of someone, it was more difficult. So I was able to make the connection to marketing pretty quick. Marketing can be seen as a nice to have, and that can be a challenge if your CEO or your CFO doesn't really understand how the expense within marketing can actually influence or drive the brand equity or impact the stock price or overall help generate more demand, then you've got a more difficult task in front of you. And I would say marketers typically have the more difficult task. There is a small population of CEOs, CFOs, COOs that understand the value marketing can drive. They intuitively understand it, but to truly show the foundation of how it directly correlates to influence is difficult. So when I am, chatting with younger marketers, I always focus on find your passion. If it's a particular area of marketing, that's great. If it's communications, public relations, if it's customer marketing or brand marketing, whatever it is, find a way to actually measure it. Find a way to measure it and socialize how you want to measure it with your stakeholders so that you can get in alignment where they can see the value that you're going to produce and take them along on the journey with them. It's really critical for marketers to be able to do that and hone that skill of doing that early on in their career, because then it's not difficult as you advance within your career journey in marketing.
So yeah, I think you mentioned a lot of good points there, especially in terms of what marketers have to do to, you know, advance their careers early on. So are there any particular character traits or personality traits that you see in people that would make them a better marketer, or traits that would suggest perhaps marketing is not the right career for you? Like, how are people supposed to make this differentiation, I guess, especially those who are starting out?
Good question. I would say, as someone that hires marketers routinely, the one thing that I look for is curiosity. I am always looking for someone that is going to ask the questions, is interested in discovering new ways to do things. Even if the current way is working, marketing is an evolving practice, meaning that what works today doesn't necessarily mean it's going to work tomorrow. There are a lot of components that make up a good marketing campaign or program. And the team members that have a constant curiosity are the ones that typically drive the path. I also look for folks that are okay with change. Marketing has a lot of change within the practice itself. 4 years ago, there were about 5,000 different MarTech solutions. This year, I think there's close to 11,000.
Wow.
So just to show you what the possibilities are within just technology supporting our industry, is just it's just accelerating. So marketers need to be okay to shift and pivot when they need to. They need to be able to see that a storm is coming and I need to get ahead of that storm, or they need to see a market opportunity and be able to shift their programs and their strategy to support that. So those are two characteristics I look for more so than anything. I will hire someone with those characteristics and with drive and tenacity over someone that has industry experience, because I think they're just so critical.
Have you encountered, candidates who've got a lot of experience, but weren't that curious in many things at all? Because I guess, if you are an experienced marketer, you need to have that curiosity at the first place.
Yes, I've been fortunate that I haven't experienced that many marketers that do not have those core capabilities. I will say, question being, when is marketing right for you and when it's not? Marketing probably has more change built into the overall function than a lot of other functions within the organization. Sales has a lot of change as well. So you do need to be adaptable. You need to be, able to change with the marketing strategy, with the construct of the organization. Those things need to be okay and at least comfortable with the uncomfortable, meaning that if you're looking for a constant, steady, very predictable, function or role, then marketing probably is not the right fit for you. There are parts of marketing that have less change in them, meaning that the job is, I would never say a rinse and repeat. I cannot think of one function within marketing where it is, year after year, the same thing. But there are areas where you might be changing the campaign or the overall output, but the process is the same. There are components within marketing operations like that. There are components within events management that's like that, where you're changing the program, but the process stays the same. The workflow stays the same. So to me, that's where the stability comes within having this role of ever evolving type of, movement around us.
So, I guess, when it comes to working for Citi, the first thing people think about would be, that Citibank is the bank.
Mm-hmm.
But could you tell us a little bit more about, the higher meaning of working for Citi aside from supporting, let's say, its banking operations? Like, how would people benefit not just monetarily from pursuing a career with Citi, mm-hmm. but what's, the higher purpose of working for Citi, you think?
Absolutely. So being 4 months in, I can tell you why I joined the company. Probably be the most relevant. I joined Citi for a couple of reasons. One, I joined because of the culture. There are quite a few people, more than I can count. So in my last 4 months, I've met with almost 400 people within the organization. I've been on a listening tour. And several of those folks have been with the organization more than 20 years. Few have been with the organization more than 30. And many have started off as our analysts class, where right out of college. I've met folks all around the globe, and they have had positions at Citi throughout their tenure in multiple locations. So Citi really invests in the employees and their career. There are several opportunities within Citi. If you're doing one job for a year or two, you want to say you're in New York, you want to experience London, there is most likely opportunities for you to apply within for those opportunities and move to London. And I've seen it and I've heard it multiple times within the organization, people doing this. So we do support and promote within quite a bit. The second thing is Citi is going through a transformation right now. Excuse me. And Jane, our CEO, is really focused on simplifying the bank, creating a better customer experience for our clients, and making it easier for everyone to work together. And first place you feel this is within the organization itself. So there are a lot of opportunities for our employees to actually have a voice and take part in that transformation strategy. And I think that is incredible because it's empowerment within our workforce. The last thing is we are a bank, but we're starting to think more like a brand. So what does that mean? It means that how do we simplify this experience for our clients is to really think about the experience that we want, what they remember about us when they're not working with us at that moment, the reflection they have on Citi as a brand versus we're an institution that you just, you know, basically do business from a monetary perspective. The strategy that we have in place is really giving a human element to banking. And that, again, I think is really incredible to be part of. And I believe this is a transition going on in the market, in banking in general, but I see Citi leading the path for all of us.
You know, so just lastly, you know, before we end the interview, I'm interested in, you know, how you find meaning in your work after all these years as a marketer, because you said, you know, you joined a startup, you know, before, you know, joining Citi, you were in Oracle and you were in many other places. How do you keep yourself constantly motivated?
Good question. So what really drives me is to pay it forward. I've had some incredible mentors and coaches in my life that have been able to help me identify opportunities when I didn't necessarily see them myself. They've also helped me fine-tune my career in marketing and really understand what type of marketer I am, where my strengths are, where I need to, you know, surround myself with experts to be able to truly drive a good marketing strategy and plan. So what really fuels me is to be able to pay it forward, to work with young marketers, mentor them, help them understand where they want to go and how they can get there. I would say that's probably the most rewarding part of my job, is doing that now. I wouldn't say that was my focus 20 years ago, but definitely now that is my focus.
So yeah, I think you said, you know, a great point about, you know, having somebody guide your career and identifying opportunities that you perhaps didn't see at first. Could you give me like an example about what this is and the importance of, you know, mentorship?
Absolutely. I had a boss early on in my career really teach me about the power of networking and and how that would shape my career, I didn't really understand until I put it into practice. So most of my jobs have come from knowing someone or someone knowing me and referring me into a position. I've never landed anything or never been brought a position opportunity without knowing someone or someone knowing me.
Would you say that's more important as you progress up the career ladder, or is that something that, you know, happens already at the early stages of your career?
I think it's like compound interest, Adrian.
Compound
So
interest.
I think the earlier you start in your career, the more beneficial it is for you. It needs to be very routine and something that you do without much thought. I honestly think the younger generation knows about this or understands this more naturally because of social media and the interaction of social media through school, that it becomes more natural for them than, say, my generation that, you know, was the first subscribers of LinkedIn kind of thing. But networking should be part of your weekly activities, should be reaching out to people that you do not have conversations with on a routine basis, touching base, meeting new people, engaging with them. I just think it is critical, actually critical, to build this. So it does have a relation to compound interest throughout your career. I started this fairly early in my career without really understanding the value of it.
Were you just told to do this, or did you just do it yourself?
No, I was told to do it. And
I
was told by a person that I really valued their opinion and their advice. And so I invested in it. And I started with, say, you've got your first layer or first, you know, your first level of connections, people that you know directly. And then I started within my first level of connections and maintained that for several years. As I started going into management, I started expanding into my second level of connections, where are people that know my first level. And that's when I really started seeing an incredible benefit, meaning that my first level, I typically knew from our conversations what they were going to say. If I needed someone's opinion, I knew them well enough to know most likely the direction of their opinion. The second level was like a continuation of my first level, but gave me a different point of view with people I didn't necessarily know. And that gave me more creative kind of energy, where an idea I might have that I was brainstorming with someone could take a potentially different turn than what I thought, which would then add another layer into the creative process and help understand what the options were for us. And then just recently, I would say in the last 5 years, have I started expanding into the third layer. And but what I've found is that folks that have incredible abilities to network usually can find a solution much quicker. But also, if they're looking for a new opportunity or a job, especially at the more senior levels, that's the only way you're really going to find it. You're not going to find it through a job post. You're going to find it by knowing someone within an organization and getting that referral, versus applying to a posted position.
Well, you know, it's been a pleasure talking to you, Angela, and thanks so much, you know, for sharing your, you know, honest experience of your career and what it's like, you know, working for Citi. So thanks for your time, and, you know, wish you all the best.
Thank you.